Okay, so anyway, we're gonna start. Okay, Baruch HaBoim B'Shem Hashem. Welcome to the Ask OU program in Muncie, and we are partnering with the Night Seder Chabura, and a little bit about the Ask OU. I think this is our next speaker wears many hats, as I often say. He's the COO of the OU. He's the executive rabbinic coordinator. Last night, I'm not sure if he made a mishmor because I think he was on the radio, I think, till 2 in the morning. And I don't know if he gave his daf yomi today. He gave his daf yomi. Gets up at 4:30, I understand, to learn to prepare the daf yomi. Then he gave a shiur today by Rabbi Scherer in his shul in Brooklyn. We whisked him over here. Tonight he's again going to be by Rabbi Leif shul in Brooklyn. So we wish him that he should have these koiches ad meves from Shana. So it's a great covet for me to introduce Rav Moshe Elfenschlita. He's going to be speaking about a topic. Every Rav that I mentioned that this is the topic said, oh, this is a very important to talk about, and the topic is Nageya whole year round, and certainly when we have Pesach help, the non-kosher help in the kosher home. Rav Moshe Elfenschlita.
Shkoyach Rabbi Grossman. Rabbi Grossman gave me a bracha. I should have kaiches. It's because of him that I need the kaiches, because he keeps me busy. There's a Gemara Masech, the Bracha Staf Mem Aleph. The Gemara says, Ein atinuk yochel likra abba v'ima. A child does not have the ability to call his parents tati, mami, at shi yitoim tam dogan. Until the child came to a stage in his development that he could eat wheat. And it's obviously an obvious question, what does eating wheat, have to do with being able to call your parent a parent? So I saw that the Sfarim explained that we know that the only food that could come only from wheat is matzah, right? If you make matzah not from wheat, it's not kosher matzah. I see my yedid, Rabbi Yossi Ostreicher, is sitting here from Manischewitz Matzahs. So we know that they want to make all sorts of different crackers, gluten-free. And the main thing that we have to make sure on those packages is that they say you can't use that for matzah. You can't use that by the Seder. So matzah is the one food that comes to remind us. Matzah is the food that is unique, that it can only come from Tam Dogen. So the Sfarim explain, Ein atinek yoch likra abba v'ima. A child, we're all children of Hashem. We can't recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at Shiyitim Tam Dogen until we eat the matzah. When we eat the matzah by the Seder, we come to recognition who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But the question is obvious. Why does matzah have this quality that by eating matzah, now we'll know that we have a tata, a mama, we have an ebishta? So perhaps the reason is because matzah is the one food that needs shmira. We know shmira mishas tzira, shmira mishas tchina, but whatever matzah you're eating, there was some level of shmura that were watched. When somebody eats a food, when somebody is careful about what he eats, that he eats it with a shmira, he eats it with a hashgacha, that shows that he recognizes that he wants to follow the Derech Hashem. And actually, the Mefarshim say that's pshat what we say in the Haggadah. The Rosha asks, Maha avoid hazois lochem? And everybody tries to understand, what is the question the Rosha is asking? And the Mefarshim say, the Rosha is asking, you know, I could understand a Yid goes to shul to daven, a Yid goes to yeshiva to learn, Dos heist avoidus Hashem. But eating matzah, a seder, That's also an avodah. And what is our answer to him? Our answer to him is hakeshinov. You don't need teeth. Because if you don't recognize that by eating, you could also be oivet Hashem, so you talk don't need teeth. But we need teeth because we eat. And eating is a very big part of our avodas Hashem. But I want to take this concept one step further, if I may. There's a beautiful vort from the Avni Nezer. You know, by the Seder, middle of the Seder, we say, V'hi sha'om dala v'seinu, everybody, a big part of the Seder, and Mahaiptof, the Becher, and you say, V'hi sha'om dala v'seinu. So what's the connection, asked the Avni Nezer, between picking up a cup of wine and saying, V'hi sha'om dala v'seinu? So he says, when we talk about foods that need serious hashgacha, obviously, matzah is a food that needs serious hashgacha, and wine is a food that needs very serious hashgacha. So we pick up the cup of wine, and we say, V'hi sha'om dala v'seinu. You know why Klal Yisrael had a kiyum all these years? Because we learned the lesson of the wine. We learned the lesson of the wine that we have to be separate. We learned the lesson of the wine that when we make kosher wine, only a yid is allowed to be involved. We get involved with very big wine and grape juice operations, and all the goyim are told sit on the side, and the yidin are going to do it. There's a halachas about separating ourselves from the goyim in the food that we eat. And v'hi sha'om dala v'seinu, and we say by the Seder, if we follow these halachas, Klal Yisrael will have a kiyum. Last Thursday was the yard site of the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch. He says there's only one place in the Torah that the Torah says, Rak Chazak, that you have to strengthen yourself. Not the Torah says, don't eat dam, kosher meat. You have to be careful that the meat is 100% kosher. Again, that's what the Eibishter wants us to follow, that diet. So, as Rabbi Grossman said, the topic that we're going to discuss today is the halacha that people all year round, but particularly around Pesach when so many people are preparing for Yontif and have so much more help at home, don't necessarily realize that there's some very serious halachas that we have to discuss. I want to tell you one thing before I start. There's a very famous heter. I want to tell you there's a very, very famous heter. The heter is, my neighbor does it. My sister does it. I heard somebody else does it. So just yesterday, I saw a beautiful vort from the Imri Chaim. The Imri Chaim says that when it comes to eating, it comes to kashrus, people like to say, I'm going to rely on what I see and hear everybody else does. So he says, look at what Rashi says. Al yoima adam, a person shouldn't say, efshi bebosa chazir, I don't want to eat chazir, el efshi, el shakarish baruch hu gozer alai. We shouldn't do what our neighbors do. We shouldn't do what other people tell us they do. We have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer alai, what the Eibishter tells us to do. So what does the Eibishter tell us to do? So, if I may, I'm going to spend a minute learning with you two se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch. They're part of the Shulchan Aruch that most people don't get to. Because either you learn Aruch Hayim, or you learn Yerideya for Smicha. This is not usually in that curriculum. Oh, but it's in the Zalba Shulchan Aruch, believe me. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideya Simen Kuf Yud Ches Sif Yud, Hamaniach Oiv Kachavim Bebeisai, you leave a non-Jew in your home, Uboi Dvarim Shem Huchlefu, and you have in your home food that if it will get switched, you have kosher meat in your freezer, you have kosher chicken in your freezer, you have milk in your refrigerator, cheese in your refrigerator, Im Uyoytze V'nichnes, if you go in and out of your house, or you feel as Chos Man Rav, or you're out for a while, but you didn't tell that person that you intend to be out for a while, mutter. We don't have to worry that maybe he's going to switch. Even if he has something to gain by making that switch. Why? Because he's scared. Any minute, you may walk in. Anybody who's involved, that's not the topic of today's shiur, but anybody who's involved in kashrus, in industrial kashrus, the OU, for example, we, Baruch Hashem, give hashgachas to 9,000 factories all around the world. This is what we rely on. I mean, we could solve the entire problem of unemployment by Klal Yisrael if we needed to have a mashgiach in every factory. But that's not what the halacha requires. The halacha says that if there's a yoitz of a nichnas, somebody coming in and out, then there's a mirsus. However, the door isn't closed, so he can't be alone in the house. Why? Because the guy is concerned, I may show up at any moment and see him. Avol, continues the Shulchan Aruch, im haydia shadata lishais, if I told him it's my intention to be away, I told the guy I'm going to work. My wife told him I'm going shopping in Manhattan. So she knows it's going to be a while till I come back. Also. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues, if you don't have any chanoah from it, then it's mutter d'lechashin and shem hechlev lachshiloi. You don't have to worry. Kivin shein loy chanoah b'dover. That's sif yud. Let's learn sif yud beis. Yesh la'achmish loy l'niach ha'kedeiros. Now we don't talk about food. Now we talk about pots and pans. It says the Shulchan Aruch, yesh la'achmish loy l'niach ha'kedeiros. Eitz la'ashifchos. You can't leave your pots with the goita, kshen yisro b'bayis, and again the Rama adds, v'ene yoytze v'nichnes, and says the Rama, v'meira kilkel shenosna dovi issa b'gedera, if something happened that you left something like that, ein lecha, she used your pot to cook something not kosher, ein l'achila oysa machol, you shouldn't let her eat from that food. Don't say, well, the food's not kosher, I'm not going to throw it into the garbage, shlo yergila b'kach. Very serious see from here in the Shulchan Aruch. So let's analyze what the Shulchan Aruch says, and let's talk how it's relevant or not relevant to us. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear in saying that if the guy has no hanor from chalipin, if the guy has nothing to gain from making the switch, we have a heter. But let's understand, what does the guy have no hanor from making the switch? So yes, if I have in my freezer a piece of kosher meat, I have in my freezer a kosher chicken, and if the guy is going to take that chicken and switch it, what's he going to gain? He's not going to really gain. He doesn't need to eat kosher chicken versus non-kosher chicken. He's going to have to replace the chicken because I know I have a chicken in the freezer. So we would think that the guy has nothing to gain, and right away, case closed. We finished the shear. The guy has nothing to gain. But it's not so simple. It's not so simple at all. And let me explain why. If the Prisha, listen to what the Prisha says. The Prisha says, let's say, which is extremely common, you're giving the guy to eat from the food that you prepare in your house. Okay? Most people do that. You're not going to tell her, don't eat. And she knows that if she's preparing this dish, she'll put in a little milk, she'll put in a little butter, it tastes better. So now she has something to gain. What does she have to gain? She has to gain that she's going to get a better food to eat, that she's going to enjoy. That's already not anymore Aninana B'chalipin. Another case, you hired her or him, doesn't make a difference, to cook in your home. They obviously want to impress you. They obviously want you to be satisfied. So if they think by cooking this with an ingredient that you're not supposed to use, the food will taste better. I can't tell you, again, not the subject of today's shiur, how many times we at the OU give hashgacha on restaurants, and we're makbid that in all of our restaurants we should have a mashgiach tamidi, and we've caught a the chef bringing in an ingredient in his pocket and sprinkling it in. what, it's the owner of the restaurant didn't give it to him. Why are you doing it? He tells us, because my reputation is very important. I want, when people walk out of this restaurant, they should say that the meal was delicious. And I know that by adding this ingredient, it'll make the food taste better. That's already not in and out of a chalipin. Somebody else told me a very also obvious thing. You have somebody who's working for you, and this will happen always on the first day. They're working for you, and you left them the food, you left them the ingredients, everything is great. They tell you they don't need anything else. What happens? They cook it, and they wish to fear it. The food gets burnt. So you're going to come home, and your help is going to tell you, I'm sorry to tell you, the supper got burnt. Now, there are people, I don't know the people here, but I'm sure it's not anybody here, but there are people that get upset sometimes. And they're going to get upset that I came home expecting dinner, and I maybe even have guests coming, and everything got burnt. And this worker knows that. So what's she going to go do? She's going to run to the store to buy another chicken. She's going to run to the store to buy another piece of meat. So there's nene b'chalipin. So it's not so poshut anymore. Moreover, the Darkei Tshuva says, quotes the Marit, that the Marit says that to rely on a full-time basis on ene nene b'chalipin, we shouldn't. Why? It's interesting, Marit. And again, people from the world of kashrus unfortunately have seen this. There are shlechta people in the world. And even if they don't have anything to gain, they just want to make tzaris, troublemakers. So once in a while, mela. But to rely on it on a full-time basis, says the Darkei Tshuva, bal nefesh yachmer. Kaf HaChaim, I have to tell you, quotes this Marit. He says the Marit is chumra, bedaf nish choshetzan for the Marit, and if it's ein anena b'chalipin, it's fine. But Darkei Tshuva does quote the Marit, and the Darkei Tshuva says, Baal Nefesh Yachmer. Moreover, I saw from Rav Vozna Zatzal in the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi, the Rav Vozna also says that to rely on the Svara of Ein Nene B'Chalipin, that you have full-time non-Jewish help, and just rely on the Svara of Ein Nene B'Chalipin, he says you shouldn't rely on it on a full-time help. Also, so I saw Paiskim that say, and this is, I'm going to do something which Rabbanim aren't supposed to do, but I'll do it anyway. The Paiskim discuss, well, I hire help only to clean. She has nothing to do in the kitchen. My wife does all the cooking and cleaning. The kitchen is in charge of my wife. So I want to tell you a story that my father, Zichrono Livracha, experienced. My father was standing in a bakery in Borough Park. This goes back many years. Was standing in a bakery in Borough Park, the time of the year when the Goyim have their holidays. My father understood Polish, and he heard two Polish shiksas speaking to each other, and they were saying that when the people who we work for leave the house, they were only babysitters. They obviously weren't in charge of cooking at all. But when the people who leave the who we work by leave the house, we're going to cook up our whole holiday meal in their pots and pans. They weren't supposed to do any cooking. The balabasta were being very machmer. They knew you have a real issue if you let the goit into the kitchen. So you have nothing to do in my kitchen. I do all the cooking in my house. It's not so simple. Another example. People don't realize this. You know, in many offices, or probably in all offices, there are refrigerators. And people put food, they bring lunch or whatever, and they put it into the refrigerator. In many hospitals, there are bikachayim rooms that have a refrigerator. These are public places. You don't know who could switch something in and out of your bag, and you'll never know. So it's a good habit that whatever you have in your house, whatever you have in these places, you should seal. If it comes, I mean, it's always sent from the factory or from the store. It's always sent with proper seals. I see my very good friend, Reb Yaakov Stefanski from Ali, is here. He could tell you how many hours we spend talking to them and constantly trying to improve the ceiling of the meat and the poultry that they sell, because they're all different situations when you're buying it in supermarkets. So you should try to keep everything in your place sealed. Another place where we saw this. This is one of the first contracts that I was involved with when I came to the OU many years ago. It's very popular to sell flavored coffee. Flavored coffee is very popular. So in the supermarkets, they have these bins, and they have flavored coffee in the bins. So we were giving hashgacha to a manufacturer of flavored coffee. Everything was 100% kosher at that manufacturing site. He now has drivers who goes from supermarket to supermarket filling up the bins with the flavored coffee. However, the guy who owns the store, how does he know that he could get this flavor cheaper, or the flavor he runs out and the driver isn't coming for a couple of days? So what does he do? He'll fill it up with something else. We were only able to give hashgacha that each one of these bins had a lock on it, that only the driver of the company that we certified has the key. And like that, we can make sure that otherwise there's a chashash and nana b'chalipin. Where else does this question come up? Everybody knows this story. People who travel up to the mountains, particularly in the summer, so the gas stations on the way up to the country all know that the Jews want milk with Chalav Yisrael. But the guy, Chalav Yisrael is more expensive than Chalav Stam. So why do you need to be chayshish? That you're going to open up the Chalav Yisrael bottle, taka, fill it up, make your coffee, pour in the Chalav Yisrael milk, and then when you leave and there's nobody else in the place, the guy will take from under the counter not Chalav Yisrael and pour it into the Chalav Yisrael bottle, and you think it's all Chalav Yisrael. So what's happening is people already became suspicious about this, and everybody who wants to make a coffee with Chalav Yisrael wants to open up a new bottle. So that's why you come to the gas stations, you'll see 100 open bottles with a drop of milk missing. But the next issue. So the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Yoytze v'Nichnes. Interestingly, the Shach asks a question. He says, if you look in Sif Yud, when the Shulchan Aruch says about Yoytze v'Nichnes, the Shulchan Aruch says, Hameniach. It's a Lashon D'Yevid. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't rely on Yoytze v'Nichnes. In Sif Yud Beis, at the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you can rely l'chatchila on Yoytze v'Nichnes. So what is the halacha? Can you rely on it or not rely on it? L'chatchila. So the Shach asked this question, and the Shach says a very interesting answer. The Shach says there's a difference for how long you're going out. He says if you're going out for less than 18 minutes, you're going to be home within 18 minutes, you can rely on Yoytze v'Nichnes l'chatchila. If you're going to be out for more, it's Yoytze v'Nichnes, but it isn't something that you can rely on l'chatchila. Now, there's a very interesting piece of Darki Tshuva. I'm sure everybody, the women or your wives, tell you about this all the time. Let's say you have a worker who doesn't listen to what you say. It happens sometimes. You have a worker that doesn't listen to what you say. The heter of Yoytze v'Nichnes falls away. Because what's the whole heter of Yoytze v'Nichnes? The heter Yoytze v'Nichnes, as we read from the Shulchan Aruch earlier, is because mirsis, they're scared to get caught doing anything wrong. But if this person has a track record that they do what they want anyway, so obviously there's no mirsis by these people. Another point. You can't rely on mirsis, on a Yoytze v'Nichnes. You know what? I go every morning, I leave the house at 9 o'clock. So I tell, like the Shulchan Aruch says, I tell my worker I'm going to come home soon. I'm going to come home soon. And every day she hears this from me, and every day she sees I leave at 9 and come home at 5. You can't say that's a Yoytze v'Nichnes. A Yoytze v'Nichnes means that you are indeed a Yoytze v'Nichnes. But if you've developed a pattern that you tell her I'm not going to be home, and you are home, and you talk, don't, I'm going to be home, and you're not home, that's not called Yotzei V'Nichnes. Or even less. Somebody just told me earlier today, you know, this Shaila, unfortunately, comes up a lot in a very unfortunate situation. There are never people who are sick. They can't take care of themselves. And they have AIDS, non-Jewish AIDS. And again, even if the aide doesn't do any cooking, you, it's a parent or a relative, you bring all the food. It's still a problem because they need to eat and they could cook in your pots and pans and make them all treif. So this person told me that his mother is not so well and maybe is not able to watch and not in a matzav to watch the non-Jewish help. But Baruch Hashem, his father is still okay, gesunta heit, and the father is there. But the father, a chosh v'yid. And he goes out every day in Bar Park. There's a shir from in Stolen. Every day they give a shir from 1 to 2 o'clock. And he goes every day to that shir. That's not called Yotzei V'Nichnes. Because she knows that every day, between 1 and 2, nobody's going to be around. Another problem. Let's say you call her, or she calls you. So let's say she calls you to work. And you work in Manhattan. You live in Brooklyn, or Muncie's probably even worse. And you know, she sees that you answer your phone by work. The moment you answered your phone by work, the Yotzei V'Nichnes fell away. Because she knows that you're at least an hour or whatever away from getting there. You don't have a het of Yotzei V'Nichnes. So what are some haterim? One more isser. What happens if you take a nap? So the Paiskim distinguish between a person who takes a nap during the day, there it's still considered Yotzei V'Nichnes, because typically even a person lays down during the day, she can't figure out when you're going to get up, when you're not going to get up. But let's say you go to sleep, you, your wife, go to sleep at night, and you leave the shiks in the kitchen, and usually when people go to sleep, they're going to sleep for the night. You don't have a heter of Yotzei V'Nichnes. So what are some haterim that we could come up with for Yotzei V'Nichnes that we could rely on? There are essentially three haterim. One is, can you rely on children? So the halacha is, if you have children over 9 years old, you can rely on them for Yotzei V'Nichnes as well. The other heter, which is very commonly used, but you have to know the rules of the heter, is a video camera. If you have a video in your kitchen, but when can you rely on a video camera in your kitchen? You have to have, number one, that she should know there's a video camera. She should see that there's a video camera, know there's a video camera that's on all the time in all areas of the kitchen. And again, surveillance is not my business, but you have to set it up with enough cameras that every area of the kitchen is covered. And you know what else you have to do? You actually have to look at it once in a while. Then you can rely on a video camera. Another heter, which is a heter from the Chabina Rav, he doesn't say it dafka regarding this shaila. He says it more regarding Hilchas Yichud, but the halachas of Yotzei V'Nichnes and these halachas and the halachas in Yichud travel together. The Chabina Rav in Chelik Aleph Simon Hay gives the following etzah. He says, give a key, nowadays you don't even have to give a key, just give the combination, to your neighbor that could walk into the house anytime they want. But it's not just that they could walk in anytime that they want. They actually have to walk in unexpectedly often enough that it could create, that this worker knows that you have somebody that's going to be, even if you're in Manhattan or you're wherever, that you're going to be walking in, and then you could have the heter. Next shaila. The next shaila is very complicated. The next shaila is a very, very complicated shaila because it goes back to Shulchan Aruch. The way to introduce the shaila is as follows. I once gave this shiur many years ago. And somebody came over to me and told me, you know, Rabbi Elephant, my wife is very makbid that she only hires Jewish help. Because she knows. She knows about these problems. And the way to avoid this problem is she only hires Jewish people to help. But what you have to really do is go to the next siman in the Shulchan Aruch. Siman Kuf Yotes. Siman Kuf Yotes discusses, I'm just going to read you the heading. I don't have time to learn the halachas with you. It's kedai to learn these halachas, but we don't have the time now. Hachoshid ledover iser. If you have somebody who's a choshid, who isn't frum, ein lismach alav bedvarim hanecholim. You can't rely on him. So just because you hire Jewish help, but that Jewish help isn't frum, you haven't accomplished anything. And yes, the Paiskim say, you don't have to go be boidik that he's 100% frum. If you don't have a reason to believe, if the person tells you they're frum, you could trust them. Doruch HaShulchan, who's not known as a machmer, says, yeah, but you have to know that he davens 3 times a day. And that he's kaim all mitzvahs. Others say you have to know that he's machmer and macholos asuris. So I want to repeat to you a very fascinating tshuva for a Moshe. What's interesting in that tshuva is how the world doesn't change. The circumstances change, but the world doesn't change. This was one of the first tshuvas. This is an early tshuva. Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva in the 1920s, when he was still in Russia. 1920s, 1930s, when he was still in Russia. What happened in Russia then? What happened in Russia was when the communists came to power, the first people they targeted were the Jews. And not just the Jews. They were smart. They targeted the young people. And they wanted to rip out from them any shaykhs to Yiddishkeit. And they indoctrinated them not to believe in anything, not to be shoyma Torah mitzvahs. So you had a situation where the parents, the older generation, were still shoyma Torah mitzvahs, and the children were nothing. Were nothing. And the shaila that was asked to Rav Moshe, could these parents, they get old, they get sick, Nebuch, could they go eat by their children? Their children hold from nothing. But the children say, we want our parents to be able to come to us and we'll keep a kosher kitchen. Can you eat there? Baruch Hashem, the shaila changed in America. In America, you have Bali Tshuva, Baruch Hashem, but the parents aren't from. And the question is, could the children eat by the parents? But it's the same shaila. Could you eat by somebody? I just read the heading for you. That somebody who's a choshed, who doesn't keep kosher, you can't trust them. So Rav Moshe says a very bechiddush, that if you see that the child is really interested in satisfying the parent, and it's important to him that his parents should be able to eat by him, then you could be mekel. And the same thing goes the other way. If you have parents who are not religious, but they're very anxious that their children should be able to come eat by them, and you see that they're sincere about it, even though if they're not necessarily frum, you could eat by them. Rav Moshe says, you should check yourself every once in a while. That means open up the refrigerator. They told you everything is kosher here. Open up the refrigerator. Open up the freezer. Open up the pantry to make sure that that's indeed the case. Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Tshuvas van Haggis discusses this shaila, and he's not ready to be as lenient as Rav Moshe. He says you can only be mekel. It's not enough that the parent of this Baal Tshuva says, you know, you'll come to me for Yontif, you'll come to me for Shabbos, I'll make sure the house is kosher. And, you know, I'll have special pots and pans, and I'll whatever. The rest of the year, when you're not here, I'm treif. That's not acceptable. He says it's only acceptable if these people are prepared to be kosher all of the time in order that you should be able to come to them when they invite you. Very bichumra. I see I'm running out of time, so I don't have time to go into all the details. I just want to talk about some very, very important halachas that may be worthwhile to mention. One is if, again, it's unbelievable how much there is here in the Shulchan Aruch, written hundreds of years ago. In Siman Kuf Chaf Beis, this is a very, very important shaila. There's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a pot and a pan to a non-Jew to fix. We don't live in such a world. If your pot and pan breaks, you throw it out, you buy it. In their world, you used to take it to be fixed. And you leave it there in a way that he could use it for his own personal use. You can't use that pot and pan without kashering. So as I said a minute ago, that's not really something that I would spend time discussing in a shir. But what will I spend time discussing in a shir? I'll tell you what I'll spend time discussing in a shir. You leave your cleaning help at home. And you go away for 8 days, 9 days of Pesach. You know, they have to eat. And they have your pots and pans. So even if all the food in the house is completely sealed, so you'll come back and you'll be able to see if everything was sealed, if anything was tampered with. But what happens if they cook in your pots and pans? My Rav Rabbeisai, I have to tell you about a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, Chelek Aleph Simen Samach Aleph. And you know, it's interesting, when you learn the Igros Moshe, he only writes the tshuva. He doesn't write the shayla. You usually have to figure out the shayla from the tshuva. This was the shayla, figuring it out from the tshuva. There was a person who was leaving her home with the pots and pans and asked the neighbor to please walk in, like I discussed earlier. Asked the neighbor to walk in every once in a while to see what's going on. And the neighbor didn't do what she was asked to do. So it turned out that the pots and pans were left with the non-Jew for whatever amount of time. The person came home and discovered that her pots and pans were left with this non-Jew. What's the halacha? Asked Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, listen to what Rav Moshe says. Number one, the neighbor, she's an oinus, because she prepared herself properly, because she did ask the neighbor to come in. That's number one. Still, Rav Moshe is not ready to be makel. Rav Moshe says, don't use the pots and pans for 24 hours. After 24 hours, we know that when it comes to Hilchas Kashering, everybody knows this time of the year, I'm sure my Choshva colleague, Rabbi Gersten, when he spoke about Kashering, he probably said it over and over, you always wait 24 hours if you're doing Agola. Why? Because it's nice Tamub Gam. So Moshe says, if you don't think she used the pots and pans, and you prepared yourself properly by asking your neighbor to come in, and you wait 24 hours, then I'll let you use the pots and pans. Rabbi say, what does that say to us? So even if we have all the food in our home sealed, you have to worry about the pots and pans. And if you leave your pots and pans not protected, you have a real problem. If you could eat, if you could cook dinner when you come home and your wife's going to cook in the pots and pans. The Paiskim are a little more makel. I saw from Rabbi First from Chicago that he says that he heard from Rav Moshe it's only an issue on the smaller pots and pans, not on the bigger pots and pans. Because what's the chash? That she cooked something for herself. So if she cooked something for herself, she's not going to use your big soup pot if she just wanted to make herself supper or lunch. But a small pot, there's no heter. There's also, again, if you have the shayla, there's mukum to be makel on the dishes versus the forks and knives, because that's already probably not going to be Yad Seledes, it's going to be Klisheni or Klishlishi, so you could be a little more makel. But these are things that we need to think about. Then there's one more point I want to make, two more points that I want to make and we'll conclude. One is about Bishlakim. Even if you have your video camera and you have your Yotze V'Nichnes, there's a problem if your non-Jewish help cooks the food, because that's real Bishlakim. And we don't, first of all, the entire heter of a pilot light is a not clear heter. And we don't anyway have the pilot lights. Modern ovens, you can't buy an oven with a pilot light. So you really have to worry about Bishlakim. If you ask it to cook something from you, you could have 100 video cameras in your kitchen and you could have people walking in and out. You have to make sure to put on the fire And you have to have a system worked out that if the fire goes out before the food is cooked, that you're going to put up, somebody's putting on the fire. It's a good habit that if you have non-Jewish help cooking in your house, every time you walk into the kitchen, just shut off the fire and put it on. Like that, you could be a little safer. But it's certainly something you have to pay attention to. One more area that we have to pay attention, I guess especially worthwhile to speak about, Erev Pesach, and that is wine. Ma'ariv Rabbeisai, wine is much more serious, non-mavushal wine is much more serious than bishlakim. By bishlakim, there are paiskim that are makel with a non-frum Jew. There's no one that's makel with a non-frum Jew by stam yenam. So if you have non-mavushal wine in your home, and you have non-Jewish help, you're asking for trouble. I can't in any way correctly leave you with a message how I could see that you should have at your home non-frum help or non-Jewish help and have non-mavushal wine at the home. You have a seder, everybody's looking, you know, to be mekayim this mitzvah lehider, so non-mavushal wine maybe is a hider, but if you have non-Jewish help helping your wife in the kitchen, or you have non-frum relatives that you invited, don't have non-mavushal wine in your home. I would go through more halachas. I don't have the time. I could tell you, agav orcha, it's not a shayla that's negate to people that work for OU, Rabbi Jurvel, to tell you, because we travel economy. But people who travel business class on El Al, so they serve wine. And I have to tell you that the wine that's served in El Al business class, I've been talking to El Al about this only for 20 years, is not mavushal. And the stewardesses are obviously not frum. You have a major shayla when they pour wine for you when you're sitting in business class, because they're pouring non-mavushal wine. Either ask them to give you the closed bottle or don't drink wine. You'll be much better off. In general, I'm going to end with two Divrei Torah, short. You know, many of us say the Parshas Haman every day. And in the Parshas Haman, it says, Eses ta'ofu afu v'ese tevashlu bashelu. So the Chassidish Sfarim Taich, Eses ta'ofu, if you want to eat baked food, afu, bake it yourself. V'ese tevashlu, if you want to eat cooked food, bashelu, cook it yourself. And you'll avoid a lot of problems. And conclusion, you know, all the Mefarshim, I'm sure every one of your children or grandchildren will come to you with this Dvar Torah at the beginning of the Seder. We all begin the Seder with Ho Lach Ma'anya, the Chala Vasana, and we invite guests. When are we inviting guests? Right? When we're sitting behind a closed door, everybody's home and sitting by the table, now you remember to invite a guest. All of us have heard this question from our children and our grandchildren, and mitzvah Hashem for many doiris. So I saw a beautiful pshat. The pshat is that we're not talking to guests. If you wanted to invite guests, now when you're sitting by the Seder already, is not the time to invite guests, after Kiddush already. You know who we're speaking to? We're speaking to the Malachim. And we're telling the Malachim, Ho Lach Ma'anya. Look at this bread. Look at what we did to prepare for a yontif. Look how much hashgacha we prepared to prepare for this yontif. That we wanted to make sure that our homes are 100% kosher. That everything we eat is 100% kosher. B'schus that, they go to the Eibishter and they say, look at Amcha Yisrael who are so concerned about what they eat, how the food is prepared. And with Zaycha, the Shana Haba Yerushalayim.
Does anybody have any questions that they want to hand in? If you could write it down. We received a few questions already. Rav Elephant, you mentioned about wine. Rabbi Elephant, So first of all, you mentioned about wine. Can you tell us a little bit, people are concerned about grape juice concentrate. Is that permissible to when it's reconstituted? And what about light grape juice and the shear for diluting wine?
So you asked a mouthful, Rabbi Grossman. Yeah. Just to answer your question, in terms of grape juice, any OU certified grape juice or wine has less than 50% concentrate. So even if you makbid that your grape juice or your wine should not be roiv concentrate, there is no wine that we certify or grape juice that we certify that's roiv concentrate. That was the question about concentrate. What was the other question? About dilution. If you need to dilute your wine, you could dilute it up to 20% and you'll still be fine.
And what's the light grape juice?
Light grape juice is l'chatchila kosher for dalakaisis. We've done the research. We give the hashgacha, so we should know. And it's still more than 50% real grape juice.
Okay, and just two more. If somebody had a question here. He wants a hand. You have it. Can Rabbi Elfin just explain? Some people are not familiar with the OU's hechsher on kitnias, and also whether quinoa is considered kitnias.
I wish I had a dollar for some every time somebody asked me about quinoa. On the way here from Flatbush, from my previous year, I got a shaila from the Rav of Hong Kong about quinoa. And I'll tell you what the shaila was. It's not a simple shaila. Quinoa. So first of all, it's important to give the history of quinoa. Why is quinoa so important for Pesach? You can't survive for 8 days without quinoa? How many people eat quinoa ever? So what's quinoa so important? So I'll tell you the secret. You can live 8 days and you can live 8 months and you can live 8 years without quinoa. You know what you can't live without? Sushi. Now, they came up with a patent that we don't use rice on Pesach, so how are you going to make sushi on Pesach without rice? So there was some brilliant chef who said, you know what, we could substitute the rice with quinoa. Because quinoa is very similar to rice. But now the shaila began, is quinoa in the minig of kitnias, or is quinoa not in the minig of kitnias? So we discussed this question. Rabelsky Zatzal was very involved still in discussing this question. Rabbi Gersten could tell you. And at the end, the OU's position was that quinoa is certainly not a grain, but it's also not considered kitnias. Bechlal, when it comes to the minig of kitnias, I just quoted at another shir, a beautiful tshuva from the Klausenberg Rebbe. It's kedai to look up in the Shalos Tshuva Stivra Yatziv. The question is, you know, nowadays there are all different types of oils that are being used for Pesach. Let's review the history of oil on Pesach. Our parents and grandparents probably used only schmaltz. But people don't want to use schmaltz for two reasons. First of all, you don't want to be fleishig for 8 days straight. And number two, you don't want to have cholesterol problems. So the first oil that they identified that may not be a problem for Pesach and not kidneys is cottonseed oil. But the question is, there was a question then already, is cottonseed considered kidneys or not? And there's a tshuva from the Klausenberg Rebbe, and this was the opinion of the Satna Rebbe as well, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha. They held that kidneys is a minig, and we're not moisiv on the minig more than the minig. And that's really the same case with quinoa. However, the issue with quinoa is, so now the OU's position is that quinoa is certainly not chometz and not kidneys on Pesach. But what is the issue? The packing lines on which they pack quinoa can be used for other material as well. It's in Peru, actually. It's not in a great place to be, but you got to do what you got to do. So we have a mashgiach in Peru when they pack the kosher Pesach quinoa to make sure that the lines are completely clean and free of any other substance besides the quinoa. Why was the shaila from Hong Kong? The shaila from Hong Kong was, this is what the Rav called us. He said that they ordered kosher Pesach quinoa, but only plain quinoa came, not kosher Pesach. And it's a week before Pesach, and it's Hong Kong. It's unlikely that they're going to be able to get before, and they have to cook before Yontif as well. So it's unlikely that they're going to be able to get before Yontif kosher Pesach quinoa. Could they use the quinoa that they have that isn't marked OUP? So I put him in touch with the name of the Mashgiach who does all of these productions, and he has the name and the lot number of the product, and he'll research what's the situation if we could be makel under these circumstances.
The last question.
Don't say last. It's always another one.
How does a Yaitzev and Nichnas help once you leave? It's evident that you're not coming back immediately.
So that's a very good question. So it's important to quote Rabelsky. Rabbi Grossman always tells me, quote Rabelsky. So I'm going to quote Rabelsky with two Piskei Halacha. One is that I said this year, he said, Rabbi Grossman said, I spoke in Rabbi Sherer's shul before I came here. And Rabbi Sherer told me a Psak Halacha that he heard from Rabelsky about this subject. It's kedai to say. He said that somebody, he told me the name of the Pesach, it's not important, said that he has a way of avoiding the problem. The way of avoiding the problem with having a goit in your house is buy her a set of pots and pans and dishes and a toaster oven, and she'll be able to use that and she won't use yours. That's what somebody paskined. And he called Rabelsky, and Rabelsky said, Chas v'sholem. If there's a chash, you could be sure she's going to use the wrong one. That's one. In terms of the shaila that you just asked, again,
how does
Yotz v'nichnas? So I can tell you what Rabelsky told us regarding factories. You know, we have, as I said at the beginning of my shir, mashgichim going into factories all the time, and we rely on Yotz v'nichnas. So the one thing Rabelsky always said to mashgichim, always, always, don't have a pattern. Don't always come on the first of the month. You know what you should do? If you came today, come tomorrow again. And the guy's going to ask you, Rabbi, you were just here yesterday. Exactly. And the same thing with the Yotz v'nichnas. Don't develop a pattern that she knows that if you go out, you're never going to be back for an hour. Then you don't have to have the Yotz v'nichnas. Go out and come right back in.
There are a few questions not answered, but we'll get back to you. If you can come forward and give us your email or phone, and we'll get back to you. Also, there's more directories in the back. Please take as many. We have plenty of them. If you know other people who will use it, please take it. I want to thank Rabbi Yossi Himi from the Night Seder for helping so much to make this year possible. And everybody should be zoicha to Lashon Haba Yerushalayim and a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Oh, yeah.